or you're at least familiar with that kind of morning or that kind of day. Is that right? When you first get up in the morning, what do you think of? What crosses your mind when you first wake up? What do I need to do today? Yep, I bet you that's true for lots of us. The first coherent thing that goes through my mind most mornings is coffee. 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 I'm not a morning person, as many of you know. What else goes through your mind when you first wake up? I wonder what the day will hold. Yep. Anybody open the curtain or look out the window to see what the weather's like? We are Canadians. That's part of wondering what the day will hold, right? So gratitude. Each new day is a gift from God. That is a wonderful way to start the day. For some of us, it is gratitude when we first wake up in the morning. For some of us, it's sadness because of something that's happening in our lives or in the lives of people we care about. Maybe for some, it's hope. Hope about what's happening that coming day. For some of us, it might be a bit of anxiety. What do I have to get done today? I confess most of my Sunday mornings are pretty much anxious. What do I have to focus on today? And for many of us, it's a mishmash of all those things, right? There's some gratitude, there's worry, maybe there's some hopefulness, maybe there's some sadness. If you start the day like I often do with the news, can't avoid the sadness. I often wake up to the news on the radio, which is a good way to get my brain going, but it may not be the best thing for my soul. Even when I turn each news story into a prayer, which is what I often do, I pray as I hear the news for those that are touched by the stories. I listen to the news because it's important to me that I stay in touch with what's happening. That's what most of us, why most of us hear, listen, watch, read the news, right? I want to know what's happening in our city, in our province, in our country, in our world. But like any media, even if it's CBC, even if it's a good source online, someone else is choosing what's included and what's not. Someone else is essentially deciding what we will give our attention to. We live in a time when we know more about what's going on all over the world than we ever did before. And there's so much information and entertainment and infotainment and advertising everywhere that it's difficult to stay focused on what's most important, what's life-giving. There's so much to distract us. Even if your computer doesn't go on the fritz on Sunday morning, even if you are a morning person and you don't struggle with attention deficit disorder, and as the Christmas season approaches, It seems like there's even more to distract us, right? I haven't even got my decorations up yet. Jesus says, stay alert. Pay attention. Watch. Focus. Our spiritual ancestors in Jesus' time and before didn't live with all that media and information overload that we have. But there was lots for them to be anxious about, for sure. Living under imperial occupation, they cried out for help. Save us, O God. The idea of a Messiah, a Savior, came out of that need for God to help them in their distress. The Roman occupation in Jesus' time and of the early Christian community in the generations after is expressed with a sense of waiting and watching and yearning and anticipation of restoration to freedom. Hope was essential for their survival in difficult times. It always has been. As we begin this season of Advent, a season of preparation and anticipation, we focus first on hope. Not just superficial optimism that denies the reality of our world. Not Pollyanna, but hope that emerges during the worst of times. That's the kind of hope that really feels alive. The hope that some Palestinians dared to feel when there was a truce, at least for a few days, and they might have been able to get to a safer spot. Maybe. The hope that we dare to feel even after we've received some difficult news about our health. Advent absolutely speaks of a divine hope, a transcendent hope. But it was a hopeful story told about a time in the midst of imperial occupation and unrest to people who were living in a time of oppression and fear. In the time that Mark's gospel was written, it was essentially illegal for people to be Christian. They were persecuted and harassed and sometimes exterminated if they were Christian. Following Jesus' call to stay alert and pay attention and keep watch, our overall theme for this Advent series is the present of presence, the gift of attentiveness to ourselves, our community, and our world. Our hope doesn't come from ignoring what's going on or distracting ourselves from the challenging realities we live with. Like the fledgling community of believers in the first generation after Christ, we bear witness and find hope in the midst of hardship. The call is not simply to distract ourselves with tinsel and lights and presence, and music, and Hallmark movies, or better movies like, you know, Tell Me Later What Your Favorite Is. For me, it's A Christmas Story. The Kid Who Wanted a Red Ryder BB Gun. It's not about distracting ourselves with those things, as fun as that is. It is about the mindfulness that provides us the necessary endurance to bear witness to suffering. It is about the attentiveness to all that's going on, not just the narrative that someone else chooses in the news, not just the narrative where the corporate elite tell us that it's hopeless, we can't really do anything about climate change, so why bother trying? It's about being attentive to a different narrative, a different story, a story of true hope in the midst of hardship. And it is that mindfulness that gives us endurance and allows us to share hope with others and find it in our own life's challenges. And the call to mindfulness begins with ourselves. Those of you that recently experienced the mental wellness series with Liz, you started the first session was attentiveness, mindfulness, knowing ourselves. To be mindful of our breath, our body, our spirit. And then with an awareness of ourselves, when we are present to ourselves, we can be truly present with others. Our hope comes not from ignoring the truth of our situation, but from a deeper place of awareness. I want to share with you some powerful words of hope from the Indian writer Arundhati Roy, who speaks to us in our modern context of occupation, a different kind of occupation than Jesus' time, but an occupation nonetheless. She says, "Our strategy should not be only to confront empire, but to lay siege to it, to deprive it of oxygen, to shame it, to mock it with our art, our music, our literature, our stubbornness, our joy, our brilliance, our sheer relentlessness, and our ability to tell our own stories. Stories that are different from the ones we are being brainwashed to believe. The corporate revolution will collapse if we refuse to buy what they are selling. Their ideas, their version of history, their wars, their weapons, their notion of inevitability. Remember this, we be many and they be few. They need us more than we need them. Another world is not only possible, she is on her way. On a quiet day, I can hear her breathing." Even in the midst of sadness, fear, grief, and anxiety, we are called to be present to signs of hope, opportunities for sharing that hope and telling our stories of hope. And if we're quiet and present to ourselves and present to the world truly, we can hear that new world breathing into life. I want to end by sharing one simple but powerful story of hope, which I hope will work. It's a very short video about a barber in Cincinnati, of all places. A guy named Vernon Jackson. Now, some of you may have seen him on social media or somewhere else. He comes to work on his days off when the shop is closed, the barber shop is closed, to give haircuts to children and adults who need a different kind of space, a safe space, by being deeply present to their needs. So let's see if the video works.
The slang term for a haircut is getting your ears lowered.
You want to say hi to everybody?
Hi.
Hi.
But this one will get your spirits raised.
And go!
That's 7-year-old Ellison Eubanks laughing in the barber chair, a sight his mom Julie never thought she'd see. You see, for Ellison, who has Down syndrome, haircuts were once on par with root canals. They were sensory overload.
I felt like we would leave every appointment kind of, you know, traumatized, and he would have even more of a negative view of a haircut than he did before.
Then they met Vernon Jackson.
You do an awesome job, man. I'm so proud of you.
Who just seemed to have the right touch.
It's something about Vernon's energy is really cool. Ellison just gravitated towards him right away, and he treated him like a human being, like any other client.
A couple years ago, Vernon created the Gifted event using money donated by the community. He gives free haircuts to kids with special needs, to those who may otherwise feel marginalized.
I'm feeling like, no, I see you, and I want to address you as you may have seen. I'm here with you through the process.
During his second haircut with Vernon in January, Ellison, who's known as a bit of a class clown, suddenly decided to play a game of stop and go, bringing sheer joy. Video of this moment has been watched on TikTok more than 3 million times.
The people that are viewing this video are being healed from their perspective and their stigma and having a little more patience with the children.
A valuable lesson that, thanks to Vernon and Ellison,
and
is getting the green light.
You say go?
Yeah.
Oh, go.
It's like they're BFFs now, you know? Like, he loves going there. He walks in and he gives them a hug and he knows to sit in the chair and he knows that it's a safe place.
Hey, we finished.
If I ever visit Cincinnati, I'll have to go get my haircut there. Looks like fun. Let us be attentive, whether it comes in social media or in any way we see it. Signs of hope and new life, so that we can share it right here and right now.